Good morning, I'm Todd Zwillick here with Lynn Scher. We're in for John Hockenberry. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, Todd.
Well, today is the day of President Obama's address to school children. That was supposed to be an uplifting start of the school year speech, and it's turned into a lemon for the White House, and we want to know where you stand.
Just the idea of having this speech by President Obama being discussed so much, it just goes to show that he's not your average president. And I think that shows in the fact that any other president in history that was giving a speech like this, it wouldn't be such a controversial thing.
We want to hear your take on the president's speech to school children today at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Send us your email to mytake@thetakeaway.org. Well, yesterday, White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs had this to say.
It's a sad state of affairs that many in this country politically would rather start an animal house food fight rather than inspire kids to stay in school.
All right. Well, how did something that was seemingly so well-intentioned here become, in the words of the press secretary, an animal house food fight? Well, to find out, we're sitting down again with Sherry Fowler, spokeswoman for the Rockwall Independent School District in Rockwall, Texas. That's a suburb of Dallas, a state that has seen some of the most vocal backlash to the school address. Well, we're also joined by two parents. Brett Curtis is a father of three from Pearland, Texas. Brett does not want his children to watch the president's address today. Meanwhile, Michael Campo is a father of three as well. He's from Chicago, from Obama land, and he would like his children to hear the speech. Well, Sherry Fowler from down there in Rockwall, Texas, thanks for rejoining us. You were on yesterday. You're on again today. Now that you've seen the text of the speech, and parents, probably many of them have seen the text of the speech, it's been released by the White House, has their take on this changed at all?
Well, we actually haven't heard a whole lot of reaction that's different since the text has been posted. We do expect to have some additional phone calls this morning. Our policy is an opt-in policy, completely optional, but accessible to any student in our district. It'll play live on every campus in a central location. So since the text has been posted, we are expecting some additional phone calls wanting their students to hear that message in live time.
And you have an opt-in policy, meaning children's parents have to take action to opt them into seeing the speech?
That is correct.
Not the other way around. Why don't they opt them out? I don't want my kid to see the speech.
Well, actually, as we looked at a lot of things going on across the district, the fact it's during lunchtime, we have standardized testing. We've been in school for 2 weeks. This will start our third week. So we have things already scheduled in the classroom. And then judging from our parent calls and what the feeling was, we just said logistically it's going to be easier to pull 4 or 5 students from a class to go to a central location than it would be to pull 20 kids out whose parents are skeptical in some way and want prior review and do something with them while the speech is going on. So it was strictly a logistical, practical decision to do the opt-in.
Okay,
policy.
Sherry Fowler, you mentioned prior review. I want to read just a line or two from the president's prepared remarks that the White House released. And Brett Curtis, down there in Pearland, I want you to react to it. The president, according to these remarks, will say, but by the end of the day, the circumstances of your life, what you look like, where you come from, and how much money you have, what you've got going on at home, that's no excuse for neglecting your homework or for having a bad attitude. That's no excuse for talking back to your teacher, for cutting class, or dropping out of school. It's no excuse for not trying. Brett Curtis, down there in Pearland, Texas, we've given you some prior review there. What's wrong with that?
Well, originally, I think a lot of people were concerned about the political content with the curriculum that he'd put out with this speech. But reviewing the speech now, my reaction is that sounds like something a father might say to his child. And, that's what my job is. I'm a parent, and I feel like it's my responsibility to teach my kids the values of education and that my kid goes to school to get the education, not to be lectured by politicians and, to have a parenting role go on. And it seems to put the president up as somewhat of a father figure that's going to tell them, how to act and what their responsibilities are. And, along with the curriculum, I think that was, one of the things that's somewhat bothering is that this is more of a parenting role and setting up the president is, the president himself is somewhat glorified
Well, then here's my question, Brett Curtis. If that's the way you feel about it, it's most certainly your right to feel that way. Why not let your children listen to it, have them come home, and then tell them, he's just a politician. You don't take everything he says as gospel. He's not your father. I am. You should. Why isn't it a teachable moment? View all politicians with skepticism.
Well, you know, when I went to school, I grew up during the Apollo space shots and the moon landing. I also grew up during the Vietnam War. I grew up when Nixon was president. And what we learned was that we should glorify our country. We should be proud patriots of our country. We should respect the office of presidency. But we learned in school and through life and politics and the news and events of the years when I grew up that the president was fallible. And we saw a president resign. We saw the American public push back against the president's policies in Vietnam. And we learned that the president has to be restrained.
All right, I want to bring in Michael Campo from Chicago. That's Barack Obama's hometown, of course. Mr. Campo, you don't mind your children seeing the president's speech, even if he is being a bit parental. Is that correct?
Absolutely not. You know, quite frankly, at the end of the day, this is kind of a historic opportunity for children to actually interact in some capacity with the president, to listen to the president. In my recollection, I'm kind of a history buff. I don't think this has ever happened in the modern era where a president is directly speaking to the children of America. And, you know, I think that this president just can't cut a break. And it's kind of – it's becoming almost offensive at the way some of these people are treating and disrespectful to the office of the presidency and the president.
What's interesting to me is that the disrespect – I think there is a lot of disrespect for the office, and it seems to be coming from the right. And it's almost equal and opposite to the disrespect that the left had for George W. Bush when he was president. They seem to be countervailing forces. It's interesting to me.
You know, quite frankly, as an ex-Republican, I have to tell you that even during the Clinton administration, I never found this level of disrespect for the presidency.
All right, Sherry Fowler down there in Rockwall, Texas, I want to bring you back into this. What about the kids? Have the kids in your school district must be very well attuned to the controversy that's going on between the parents. Have the kids noticed each other, divided themselves at all based on you're seeing the speech, I'm not seeing the speech, you're allowed to see it, I'm not, your dad's right wing, my mom's left wing?
Well, I think that's a really interesting question because I'd have to disagree with your assessment. I have two kids myself in the school district, a sophomore in high school and a seventh grader, and we had a roundtable discussion about it and did they want to view it. And both my kids' assessment was, well, what class would I be getting out of? And so when we talked to them and their friends and just hearing from my own children, I think the kids are not as in tune. I think that this is a parental battle for the most part. You're talking about K through 12 grades. And so certainly our elementary students are not as attuned. You probably have some high school ones that are. But we're really not seeing that division in our schools. And I think hearing from both these parents is an excellent example of why a school district has to respond to this issue in a way that actually meets the needs of all the families, as opposed to just taking a side or the other.
This is Lynn Scherr joining in the conversation. Brett Curtis, let me go back to you for a minute. Just curious, would you have had any objection if President George W. Bush had wanted to speak to your kids in school?
I watched the George Bush speech, and he made a speech very similar and talked about education. And I think at the end of the speech, he spent a lot of time talking about drugs. But what President Bush didn't do was President Bush didn't direct a curriculum to all the school districts in the state of Texas.
No, but we're talking about what he said to the students. In other words, just the fact that President Bush spoke to the students was okay with you.
Well, when I watched the President Bush speech, my reaction is, why would the school district, and I don't know if they how the school districts handled it then and what he asked the school districts to do, but I wondered why they would have that, why the kids would want to see this, because or why this would be good, because it was a political speech to accomplish political goals of the President of the United States. And you know, that's how I felt about it, is that, you know, this was not valuable for my kids to be pulled out of their classes in arithmetic and reading and writing and the things. My wife is a teacher in Pearland, and you know they have a very busy schedule.
We can't afford to have all these competing priorities. Thanks, Brett Curtis. We got to wrap. Brett Curtis is a father of three in Texas. His kids aren't seeing the speech. Michael Campo of Chicago, his kids are. Sherry Fowler of Rockwall, Texas. School district has to respond. Thank you all for joining us.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.